from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, sitting in for Michael Krasny. Another round of strong winds is prompting another round of PG&E power shutoffs today that could impact more than 600,000 people. For some customers who lost power over the weekend, the new round of shutoffs could mean they will not have power restored at all until Friday. Meantime, the California Public Utilities Commission has announced it's investigating how PG&E has handled the three power shutoffs this month, saying, quote, "The state cannot continue to experience PSPS events on the scope and scale Californians have experienced this month." We get the status of current blackouts, the next round, and more with J.D. Morris. He's an energy reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. Hello, J.D. Morris. And J.D., I believe you're there. I heard a little bit, but we'll just pull up the mic in a moment. We're also joined by Ari Van Rennen. He's a spokesperson for PG&E. Good morning, Ari. And while we wait to get Ari up, we are learning from PG&E that they have another round of public safety power shutoffs that are projected to affect anywhere between 240,000 to 600,000 customers, the higher number representing whether or not they can get some transmission lines working that may have been damaged. And if you have questions about the power shutoffs or want to tell us how you're being affected, give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can post your questions on Facebook, Twitter, our website, or email us at forum@kqed.org. And Ari Van Rennen, are you with us from PG&E?
Yes, hello.
Oh, hi, Ari. Thanks so much for joining us. And so can you tell us your title there at PG&E, please?
Yes, I'm a spokesperson for PG&E.
So tell us why, what is it looking like now? I mean, initially you said 200,000 to 600,000. Is it looking like it'll be more like 600,000 people are out of power?
So stepping back a little bit, we did start a public safety power shutoff on October 26th, and I wanted to let you know that as of now, we have restored power to 59% of those impacted customers.
Okay, so how many people are still without power at this moment?
Right, still without power for that public safety power shutoff is about 400,000 customers.
And then with this upcoming shutoff, that number could grow to what are you thinking now as you start to restore power to places?
Right. We are seeing the next severe and widespread wind event coming in today, and we are implementing a public safety power shutoff affecting electric service for up to 596,000 customers.
596,000 customers. So it's closer to that 600,000 number.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, in the Bay Area, who are the people that will then have not had power for an entire week if, in fact, you're not able to restore it to them by Friday? In what regions of the Bay Area?
We have customers across the Bay Area except for San Francisco County that might be impacted. We did start letting customers know ahead of the event via text, email, and automated phone calls. And we did work to try to reduce the scope of the event as we continued to monitor weather conditions in these impacted areas.
Yes. So in the regions where people have not had power, who is likely to not have power for an entire week? Are these folks in Marin and Sonoma where the biggest numbers were?
There are some of those areas, yes. Some customers may be out without power for an extended period of time. We do hope our customers have prepared for that, and we want them to know that we don't take this decision lightly. We know the impact of not having electric service has on our customers. We want our customers to know that we have opened several community resource centers that are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. where customers can find restrooms, bottled water, electric device charging and air conditioning, as well as seating for up to 100 at each of these facilities. And we want our customers to know that those are an option if they're able to get to them.
And that list of where those are on your website?
Yes, at pge.com/PSPSupdates.
And so there were also 100,000 or so people who lost power despite not being in the original public safety power shutoff zone. during the course of that time, the communication for most people was simply that there was no projection for when power would be restored. And throughout the entire day, many people just simply got a notice saying that somebody was headed to assess the situation. I mean, in terms of those communication issues, are you seeing that as problematic and trying to address that?
So the changing weather conditions make it so that some of our PSPS locations were added later than early notifications could permit. This has been a very dynamic weather situation, and we did see the weather change, and we're continuously monitoring that. We have added those customers, and so they should be receiving notifications as of now.
So, Ari Van Renen, the California Public Utilities Commission now wants to investigate how PG&E has handled these three public safety power shutoffs in the month of October, saying, quote, Californians cannot be subject to the poor execution that PG&E in particular has exhibited. So what is PG&E's reaction to news of this investigation?
We will continue to work with the CPUC as well as other stakeholders to determine how we can improve our public safety power shutoff and what we can all do together to make sure that we're keeping safety top of mind as we all live and work in these incredibly dynamic and changing weather conditions across California.
Does the company concede that the execution was poor?
We know that we did have issues with communications and customer notifications, and we work, you know, continuously to try to decrease the impact on our customers as we're forecasting for these type of public safety power shutoff events.
I know you told us that you could only be with us for the top, but some residents have been taking out their anger and frustration at PG&E's execution on field workers. Has that diminished at all with the requests from your leadership not to take it out on people in the field?
I don't have the updates on that in front of me right now. What I can say is that the safety of our customers, employees, and our communities are our top priority, and our employees work and live in the same communities that our customers are in, and we hope that, you know, they are treated with the respect as they do this really hard job of trying to get the lines inspected and our customers restored.
Ari Van Renen, spokesperson for PG&E, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
And J.D. Morris of the San Francisco Chronicle, you were, of course, listening to our conversation with the PG&E spokesperson. Is there anything that you heard in that conversation that jumped out at you?
Yeah. First of all, is the sound working now? Better?
Yes, it is. Thank you for your patience.
The first thing I want to say is that it's actually a lot more than just the customer number of humans that are blacked out. When PG&E talks about customers, they're really referring to households and businesses. It's accounts. So it's actually, I mean, with the earlier power outage that we just saw, it was like 2.8 million people. PG&E serves that were blacked out. PG&E serves 16 million people, and it has 5.4 million electric customer accounts. So every time they talk about customers, you have to multiply that number by about a factor of three in order to get a sense of the total number of humans that are impacted. So what California is dealing with right now is truly historic, to see that many people blacked out that often for that extended period of time, some of whom are my own family members.
What can you tell us about this investigation that the CPUC is doing into PG&E's handling of the power shutoffs?
I don't know where it's going. It's very interesting to see that they've done that, and also not surprising, though, not even a little bit. If you remember after the major blackout a couple weeks ago at the beginning of the month, the Public Utilities Commission convened an emergency meeting to talk to PG&E executives about how awfully they rolled out the first series of blackouts, especially with horrible communications with the website that kept crashing. And the PUC has a new president, Mary Bell Batcher, and she made it very clear at that meeting that, you know, she means business. And she had some harsh words for PG&E. She told a panel of PG&E's top executives that they had failed on some pretty simple stuff. And she seemed very exasperated with them, as did the other commissioners as well.
But at the same time, the commission did approve their plan for these blackouts, essentially, when they first presented it.
Yes. And that is something that everyone should keep in mind. I will note that the new president was not on the commission at that time. But yes, you are absolutely right. Earlier this year, the CPUC signed off on all of the investor-owned utilities' wildfire prevention plans. And a big component of PG&E's plan is power shutoffs. The PUC also has a whole rulemaking, they call it, but, you know, regular process of creating regulations for these power shutoffs. They approved one set of rules in May at the same time that they signed off on PG&E's wildfire prevention plan. And they're taking another look at that right now. That was actually part of what they announced yesterday, is that they're going to kind of review the protocols and stuff like that. But I think when they approved the first set of rules, you know, especially in hindsight now, some of the critics of the commission and of PG&E are saying that they didn't go far enough. But I will say that PG&E has been telegraphing these kind of widespread blackouts and saying that these were coming for, like, I mean, all year.
Yes.
They've been saying that, that this could happen. But I think what the CPUC is telling them now is that, you know, they were clearly not prepared to implement this on such a wide scale.
So before I go to calls, just quickly tell us what you know about the scope of this next round of power shutoffs.
I don't think it's going to be as widespread as the last one. The last update I saw from PG&E was that they had restored like more than half, like 57% of the people who lost, of the customers who lost power in the last outage. It is unclear exactly to me right now how many people lost power over the weekend and have not gotten it back.
Yes.
Including my family in North Sonoma County near where the Kincade Fire is burning. But we know that it's probably a large number. I mean, it's the areas that they're shutting off in the current outage are very closely aligned with what they shut down before, even though it's smaller. So I think you're going to see, you know, a fair amount of people who lost power, just got it back, and are going to lose it again. And then also some other number of people, possibly a large, very large number, who've been without power this entire time.
Well, let me see if our listeners, if they're able to tell us if your power is still out from the last blackout, or if you want to share how you weather the power outage or other questions you have about the PG&E shutoffs, call us at 866-733-6786 or post your comments on Facebook, Twitter, or email us at forum@kqed.org. Again, we're talking with energy reporter J.D. Morris from the San Francisco Chronicle and with you, our listeners. I'll start with Stuart in the East Bay. Hi, Stuart.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Actually, my perspective is actually one from somebody whose power didn't go off the other day, where, in fact, I was actually afraid. I was seeing things like the Lafayette Tennis Club burn down because their lines weren't turned off. And it occurred to me that we hear a lot about, with the fires that got started by lines that weren't turned off, but we don't hear so much about the fires that didn't get started because the lines were turned off. And I wish the media would sort of ask PG&E to give us an account of, like, how many fires did they save? Because that's actually maybe the good side, the good news of these power outages that we could all, you know, appreciate.
It's true. That's harder to quantify. And so, yeah, I mean, in some ways, their success is if fires don't start. And if they do, there's this question of, well, could it have been worse? But that also just adds to the frustration, right, J.D. Morris?
Oh, totally. I'll say, first of all, that's a 100% fair question. And it really illustrates kind of the difficult position that PG&E has put itself in right now. It's impossible to prove a negative. Like, I don't think any of us can definitively say, yes, you know, by turning off the power, they prevented, you know, this kind of catastrophic fire in this place. What they can say, and what the media, including myself and KQED, have actually reported on, is that the, you know, during the last outage, for instance, they found more than 100 examples of wind damage on their power lines when they were inspecting them before restoring them. And that includes, like, you know, trees and branches that have fallen on lines, which is a very common cause of when utilities are responsible for wildfires. That's often how they start. That's what happened in the North Bay exactly 2 years ago. I think last I heard, well, I don't want to put a number out there, but they found a lot of instances of damage already from the windstorm this past weekend. And given how widespread those winds were, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So we will definitely be reporting the number of instances of damage that they found to their equipment while they're restoring it before turning power back on. And that is, it's not a definitive indication that that would have started a fire, but it is one data point that suggests that.
Well, Stuart, thanks for the call. And Monica tweets, speaking of damaged equipment, what is the point of turning off power if PG&E equipment is still causing fires? The Kincade fire is allegedly caused by it. Well, that's very speculative at this point, right? But she also writes, and a smaller fire in Lafayette was caused by PG&E equipment in areas experiencing blackouts. Please explain. So there was a report from PG&E that two fires in Lafayette occurred near fallen PG&E equipment. And so can you tell us what that report said?
Yeah. And so, okay, with both that and the Kincade fire, we can't definitively say PG&E caused it. That's something that Cal Fire and, you know, fire investigators are going to have to tell us as they investigate the cause of that, of those blazes. But what we do know is that PG&E has said that, you know, it's different power lines malfunctioned in those areas right, you know, around the time and place that the fires began. It's tricky. So with the Lafayette fires, you know, I think what PG&E was saying, so those are lower voltage distribution lines, the, you know, classic wooden power pole with a line on it that delivers electricity into your house. I think PG&E's explanation was like, well, that's not a high fire threat area. You know, they weren't like in danger really there. So they did not turn off the distribution lines serving those places. But we had this windstorm. And with the Kincade fire, that's a bit more complicated because what malfunctioned up in that area was a heavy duty, high voltage transmission line. And those are like the freeways of the electrical grid. So if you close those off, you can have widespread impacts on the rest of the grid. You can have people blacked out in places that aren't experiencing any bad weather. And, you know, the higher voltage it is, the more heavy duty it is, the wider those impacts will be. There's also a different standard for when PG&E turns off those kinds of lines because of the different wind speeds that cause damage to those equipment, because distribution lines are, you know, they're more fragile. Their lower wind speeds can knock vegetation into them. Transmission lines are those heavy duty, you know, steel tower things, and you need faster winds in order to cause damage to them. So what they were saying with the Kincade fire was, well, in that area, you know, the winds weren't fast enough to warrant turning them off. But we're having these issues. They have that malfunction. There's a lot of unanswered questions that PG&E is going to have to account for in the coming weeks and months.
Well, let's go next to a question from Tony in San Francisco. Hi, Tony.
Hi. I work in Milton Valley and Larkspur and San Anselmo at their libraries. This day of power was never turned back on for those areas. I know definitely Mill Valley. I'm not 100% sure on Larkspur and San Anselmo because I have to work today at the community center. The communication is what's my major concern. There were so many people without cell service or any way to find out any information. All the landline phones in Mill Valley are down except for City Hall. So the only way we can find out information is through a phone tree. And my boss had to literally go from Novato to Mill Valley to communicate with us because she had no reception in Novato. And so we found out that we're to work at the community center tonight
because we're part-time employee, or I'm a part-time employee, so we don't get paid for the days we're off, and they've been without power since Saturday. We may get a couple of days compensation, but we definitely, it's not 100% certain. So it's been really challenging, and I have a lot of friends there that have no ice. My friend drove all the way down to the city, all over the city looking for ice. You know, it's high stress, and there's so many older people there in Marin that, you know, are isolated. And I really find that this outage thing is such a crime for...
Tony, thank you for that. You are not alone in a lot of the things that you're expressing in terms of communication issues and the fact that people are very wary and having a hard time getting resources for this prolonged shutoff. We're actually joined now by Lainey Henrichs. She's a public information officer for the County of Marin. Hello, Lainey Henrichs.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being with us. So listening to Tony, I mean, what are you telling people in Marin who are experiencing what could potentially be a week-long outage for them?
Well, we're doing what we can to get information out to the residents, not only about updates on the October 26th outage, but the fact that we are facing a second public safety power shutoff.
Yes.
That could occur at any point today. We have zero confirmation on timing or even impacted areas.
You're not hearing from PG&E on timing.
It's very fluid. It is a very dynamic situation. We understand that they are relying on weather models, and Mother Nature cannot be tamed, and so she's going to do what she wants to do. And PG&E, from what I understand, for those areas where power has been restored, they are trying to hold off until as late as possible from a safety standpoint to turn back power if they have to, turn power back on, off rather, if they have to as close of when those potential wind event may occur. So we get the purpose in that, but it is extremely frustrating, not only from an agency standpoint, a government agency standpoint, as well as for our residents, to just have this huge window of unclear information, or at least unknown.
So, Lainey Henrichs, you're saying that if you had your power restored, there's a chance that it could be turned off again, even though these power outages were supposed to be starting around 8 a.m. this morning. And then if you haven't had it turned back on, there's a good chance it won't be turned back on, but that you can't say anything definitively?
I mean, I can't say definitively. I do know that PG&E crews are out in the field in areas of Marin, still continuing with inspections from the Saturday, October 26th outage, and they say that they are working to restore power. But the caveat to that is that if they deem that they need to shut off power in Marin again, even though your power is restored, there's no guarantee it will stay on. And so we're advising our residents that if your power is restored, use this as an opportunity to recharge your medical devices, recharge your cell phone and other devices, and to restock your emergency kit, whether you need additional batteries for flashlights or other things, or if you need to restock on non-perishable foods, now is the time to do that. And to also be wise that maybe this is not the time to restock on those perishable items, because there very well could be a multi-day outage again. And
yes,
all those perishable resources would be lost.
Still at the same time, this listener writes, we put some food in coolers, but we've had to buy groceries twice now. What about the people who cannot afford this? I have small kids under 5, and we've had to go to a hotel. Who is going to reimburse us for this? What kind of information are you getting out about PG&E programs, reimbursement programs that are in the works?
Unfortunately, I don't have any information about potential, either existing or potential reimbursement programs through PG&E. That's not been made available to us at this point. What I do know is we are working with Marin Health and Human Services, their social services department, as well as other community partners such as the San Francisco Marin Food Bank, to identify potential resources that could be available to help people get the food that they need, whether that be through a food pantry or if we're talking about CalFresh recipients being able to get them additional benefits if they've lost all of their food supplies for their current period of benefit. So we are looking into options that we can provide, but as far as what PG&E might be able to provide residents, I have zero intelligence on that right now.
Do you have any intelligence on it, J.D. Morris?
Yes, and unfortunately, it's not great news. As of now, PG&E does not have any plans to reimburse residents, as far as I know. Because they say that it's like a weather event, you know, the power shutoffs are motivated by the weather. And so they, aren't going to be doing that in the same way that they wouldn't do that for other kinds of similar situations, I believe. I will say, though, that Governor Newsom has requested that PG&E provide $100 rebates to customers, and that businesses get, small businesses get $250 rebates. So far as I know, that idea has not been implemented. It came up at the Public Utilities Commission, and so you might see some kind of action from the commission to make that happen. Potentially, PG&E did say they were considering it, so that could change. And certainly there's a lot of pressure on PG&E to do something like that.
Well, let me
could see it happen.
Let me give our listeners a sense of some of the comments that we're getting in terms of anecdotes from people who are dealing with this still. Tom tweets, Novato still has no power since Saturday. T-Mobile service is at bare minimum, so no internet. Running my car to power a radio. Why is cell service so bad? We did hear yesterday that some cell towers may not have backup power to run them. Natalie tweets, we're in Lakeport. Our power was never restored before today's outage, so this is day three, and we will have no power till Friday, apparently. Nearly a week with no heat in this cold weather. And Jane writes, we're near Lake Solano outside of Winners. We've had no power or water for 48 hours and expect another 48. The business owners of the small town of Winters are losing revenue. And of course, that's a reminder, J.D. Morris, of, you know, people on wells or are without water. People who need electricity to get their water are without water for all of this time.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, my family in Cloverdale has no gas as well. I think PG&E turned off gas in that area, so they can't cook. They can't, you know, yeah, they have no heat. They have no lights, no nothing for days on end. And I mean, these back to back outages that are happening right now are, I mean, it's just a lot for people to be dealing with. And we could see some pretty bad impacts. I'll also note that once the weather passes, that doesn't mean PG&E flips a switch and turns everybody's lights back on. They have to visually inspect every mile of power line that they turn off on foot patrols, in vehicles, and via helicopter, and look for damage. Because if they just turn it on and, you know, a tree had fallen and snapped a line, then it'll start a fire when they turn it on. So they, and the more damage they find, the longer it will take to restore power.
Well,
it's unknown.
We'll continue to gather the stories of how you're coping in our next hour of Forum. J.D. Morris, energy reporter for San Francisco Chronicle, thank you for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
And also thank you to you, Lainey Hendricks, public information officer for the County of Marin.
Thank you for having me on.
And thanks to Ari Van Renen, who joined us earlier from PG&E. I'm Mina Kim. You're listening to Forum. Stay with us.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.